We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Played with about 15 different Aussies, every one of them crazier than the last one.
Let's not judge me by the rest of the Australians that you've met, because...
Down here, we would greet you by saying, good day, mate.
I did a thing with Ryan Rollinsmith, Grant Bell from Peter Moreland, and we were just talking, and all of a sudden we're like, look, anytime someone brings up that you're Australian, you're like, please don't say that name. Please don't say this guy. Please don't associate me with those guys. And we all had the same exact expression of the way that it went down. We're like, no, we need to separate ourselves from some of the people that have come over, because we do have the reputation of being somewhat crazy.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
All right, you win. I see you've played knifey spoony before.
It's so funny you mentioned Peter Moylan, because right when I found out we were interviewing today, the first person I called was Peter Moylan. And the very first thing he said was, oh, no, Mike, he's sane.
Liam, what did you think of Deck's Australian accent impression there? How'd he do?
It's not the worst I've heard.
I can understand a Japanese dude better than I can understand an Australian guy. Everything sounded like this to me in Australia. They'd be like this. It'll blah, 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 blah. And at first I would be like, what? But then they just repeat that. They'd be like, get a ball, 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 boy. And then I would just be like, yeah. And I was like, hey, man, where's the elevator? And he goes like this. Hey, well, just say. I was like, oh, you didn't hear me. I'll just say it again. Hey, man, where's the elevator? And he goes like this. Sorry, mate. I can't understand what you're saying. So I was like, here comes the third time.
Man, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Liam Hendricks was so awesome with us last week. If you missed it, absolutely worth it. Check out the podcast page, 670thescore.com, the radio.com app. The White Sox, I mean, between Eloy, Robert, Moncada, Anderson, Giolito, and Hendricks, just fun, likable dudes, good ambassadors for the city, for the team, good talkers, just they get it, they're marketable, everything about it. Just not only a good team, a very likable team, and Liam Hendricks, a ton of fun. Highly recommend that. We decided that John C. McGinley was so much fun. I mean, the dude told stories from Point Break, Platoon, Office Space, Scrubs, hanging with Chris Chelios and John Cusack, what sports mean to cities, being a character actor and choosing roles, and his path to being cast in everything and anything. It was just so great. And he performed a little message for Ted Phillips that we're going to play it for you at the end of the show today.
A portion of it. We're gonna start with the Scrubs conversation and the John C. McGinley type that they were looking for. Start there.
If you're a fan of Platoon, as I am, go back and listen on the podcast after the show. Good stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. That makes sense, because we got John McClane coming up in about 20 minutes or so, so we don't have time to re-air the whole thing. But that's perfect. And so you'll get the Office Space, you'll get the Scrubs, and you'll get some of the sports stuff with John C. McGinley to end the show today. That's perfect. Thank you guys for taking care of that. And if you don't know who John McClane is, John McKinley was the guy I was most looking forward to talking to today. Boomer Esiason, great as always. But John McClane has been covering professional football in Houston for as long as there has been professional football in Houston. And I don't think the Texans are crazy enough to trade Deshaun Watson. And if they do, I certainly don't think the Bears have enough to get him.
but this situation is weird. They've promoted a chaplain. A billionaire's son has taken over the team. They brought in a GM from the Patriots. They had a delayed interview with Eric Bieniemy. Their franchise quarterback, 25 years old, under contract to Deshaun Watson, is pissed. There's talk of demanding trades and protests about how upset Deshaun Watson is. There has not been many stories of dysfunction quite like this one, and if Deshaun Watson gets traded, I would argue he would be the most valuable asset to ever be traded in the history of professional football. So we will discuss that with the person who knows more about the Houston Texans than any person in media, without question, coming up, like I said, in a little bit less than 20 minutes. But the football weekend was so great, and I found myself thinking about the Bears really in three different games. You're thinking about the Bears and Chiefs-Browns because it was what you want the Bears to be. It's like, oh, man, they're trying to run the same offense and they have the same system, but it's like the stunt double. Like in you ever see the movie Multiplicity with Michael Keaton, where it's like the first clone is basically the same thing, maybe just like a little meaner, but then by the third or fourth clone, the guy wants to eat a dolphin.
There you go.
Anyway, it's a great film. It really is.
Thank you. The Bears were the eat a dolphin version of Michael Keaton, and yesterday was the Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes version. They had 11 first downs on their first 20 plays. It was crazy to watch. And then the end of game sequence where Mahomes is out, they're up five, they're squandering the lead. Drop back to pass, front end of the two-minute warning, take a sack, third and 14, drop back to pass, quarterback scramble, fourth and one, drop back to pass, actually go for it and pick it up. Just aggression, aggression, aggression. Did not matter that the backup quarterback was in, did not matter the stakes, they went for it. And you juxtapose it with how conservative the Bears are, and at least to me it was like, that's what you want to be, this is what you are, there's an Atlantic Ocean seemingly between the two. So I thought that was a fairly obvious place to be thinking about the Bears. Then they mention it during the damn broadcast of Saints-Bucks when the trick play gets executed with Jameis Winston connecting on the touchdown.
Breeze to the sideline and Jameis Winston comes in.
Well, this is interesting. I mean, I would say they'd be taking a shot if Deontay Harris was in the game.
Well, now they've got Winston lined up wide to the outside in a direct snap to Kamara. Now Winston. Now Traquan Smith. Flag is down. Smith is into the end zone for a touchdown. Well, Sean Payton has told us, Troy, many times, his players want to know he's up until 1 in the morning devising plays for them and to give them an opportunity. How about this play?
Pretty good, you know. I mean, I don't know that Sean Payton anticipated that it would be as open as it was, but he sure window dressed it up pretty good.
Sean Payton told us that he saw a play during this postseason that he put in himself. Well, it was a play here in New Orleans that the Bears ran. Problem was for Chicago, Wims didn't make the catch. Well, they draw it up, and it's Jameis Winston launching it. Traquan Smith catching it for 56. What worked for the Saints did not work for Chicago.
Yeah, they had a little better success, and Traquan Smith was a lot more open, although should have been a touchdown for the Bears also.
I love calling plays. I love it.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, Troy, it should have been a touchdown for Chicago. I get the same. Great throw from Trubisky. Awful drop from Wims. There's your difference. Though Saints going home as well. And then the other time I'm thinking about the Bears is in the Bills-Ravens game. Because, and I know that the Bills' offense was not very good. They only scored 10 offensive points, 17 total in the game. But this is a team in crappy weather, in the wind, that was like, we're only handing the ball off 9 times. Because what we do is we throw the ball with our strong-armed MVP candidate. And would you like them to be a little bit more well-rounded? Sure. Is there a place for the running game in the NFL? Absolutely. I'm not saying that there isn't. This isn't apples and this isn't black and white. This isn't 100%, 0%. Obviously, everything is a blend here. But, like, you look at these teams, Packers, cold weather, bad conditions. They got a strong-arm quarterback. They throw. You look at the Chiefs, cold weather, bad conditions, strong arm quarterback, they throw. Bills, windy, strong arm quarterback, they throw. Go for the generational talent at quarterback. Offensive football, throwing the football. This idea of like, oh, bear weather, bear down, the lakefront, the 85 Bears, defense wins championships, it's all about running the ball time. No, it's nonsense. Throw the ball. Throw the ball. Andy Reid threw the ball on 4th-and-1 with Chad Henne. The Bills threw the ball with Josh Allen. They're in the AFC Championship game. You got to find a quarterback who you trust to throw the ball. And until you do, your best-case scenario is to be this team that pops up once a year, gets hot, everything goes right, and you can make a run. And hey, it'd be great to make a run and have that happen one time and win a Super Bowl. It's happened before. But if you want to be there every year, you got to have the franchise quarterback, and you've got to build your offense in that vein. And until you have that quarterback, you've got nothing. Yes, the Titans can make a run. Yeah, the Niners can make a run. But the Niners are looking for a new QB. The Titans haven't broke through. You need the quarterback. And so I was thinking about the Bears the entire damn weekend and just realizing, not that it's a new revelation, but how far the Bears are from where they are to the teams that are going to be playing next weekend. And then the other thing, and we'll have more time to talk about this, I'm sure, as we go throughout the week, and I know a ton of Bears fans will disagree with this, but I am rooting for the Packers. I am done with Brady, man. It's remarkable what this guy is able to do. And call me a hater if you want. It's fine.
He's insane.
Yeah, thank you, George. He's incredibly talented, obviously. He's the most accomplished quarterback in the history of the sport, obviously. I'm just ready for some new blood. And that dude, it's insane how he's gotten to where he is with this particular Tampa team. Because that the Saints dominated them twice during the regular season. If Lattimore catches that ball, he throws a fourth quarter interception, probably lose the game. But he wins again. 14 conference championships that he's played in. And by the way, speaking of my guy Andy Reid, because, Tandy, did you know that I'm a fan of his, by the way? Have I mentioned that?
Yes.
I'm sure.
No, yeah, okay. Just get to it already.
Yeah, well, only one coach in the history of the NFL has hosted the conference championship game 3 years in a row. Andy Reid's done it twice, once in the NFC, once in the AFC. Kind of a fun fact about a Hall of Fame coach, second best coach in the NFL.
How many rings does he have? And don't use math or numbers.
It'd be...
and not onion rings either.
One. One ring. Soon to be two, though, for Andy Reid.
Until you just...
yeah, nice job, idiot.
Yeah, until you just put your Danny Parkins jinx on him.
No. They're winning this year. I'm not... One thing that can get through the Danny Parkins mush, the Parkins pick of death, if you will, is Pat Mahomes.
So are they doing like a new thing in the NFL this year where they do two Super Bowl champions because the Packers are going to win?
Well, I know you're the new gambling expert on the show, but you want to make a little wager right now?
Sure.
Okay. I'll take the Chiefs. You take the Packers?
Yeah.
What are the stakes?
About $5,000.
Yeah. How many units, man?
So that if $5,000 would then
without
be...
Without using numbers. Don't say numbers.
A half a unit.
Half unit for you is $5,000.
Yeah.
Big timer. All right.
Yep.
Well, you name the stakes, and they can be legitimate stakes if you want.
Flank. Maybe I can get Gina Giorgetti?
Flank.
That'd be great.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay. How much meat's left in the bedroom freezer?
Plenty? A good amount. It's kind of a personal question.
I'm just saying maybe that could be something that you would offer up. Bottle of your favorite bourbon versus some prime meat.
Okay. All right. I really like this new one that's been around for about 20. Pappy Van Winkle 23 is my favorite bourbon. God.
This guy.
That's exactly right. Different Pappy. Sorry.
Sorry. It's very confusing. Yeah. We'll do a bottle of my favorite bourbon for, I don't know. I'll cook whatever steak you want. Your little favorite Chateaubriand.
Okay. Sounds amazing.
Okay. A little ketchup on that steak. Okay.
Yeah, I put ketchup on my steak. Doesn't matter the kind or how good it is. I still put ketchup on my steak. And I don't know if you know, my neck hurts a little bit.
We heard that. Yes.
No. You've mentioned that.
I put me in this blue tent for about 20 minutes. I said I'm fine, guys. My neck hurts.
You look like it. You look like you're really fine.
I was fine.
Put Pat Mahomes to the side for a second. Shane, you already owe me a few cooked meals, so I don't know if that's the thing that I should be gambling with you. You do. Yeah.
Oh, I do for the golf clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then clubs. Remember the pandemic?
Oh, there's an expiration date. It's like a coupon.
No, I couldn't come to your home like the original plan was, and I don't owe you cooked meals. Let's be very specific here. I owe you cooking lessons because you're bad at it.
That's fine.
That's why we called the audible on that Chicken Parm Friday for this week when you said you were going to come on through and bring some. I had that mental image of you leaning over your stove.
Oh,
no, thanks. No.
You
no
assumed he
parm.
Was making the chicken parms?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm going to come into the studio with purchased Chicken Parm subs for you guys. Chicken Parm subs had me more intrigued than Pizza Friday. I was just never able to figure out exactly. It was too confusing.
What's Pizza Friday?
I don't know. I can't explain it.
We do Chicken Parmesan Sandwich Fridays here on the score.
Okay.
Always have been.
Mistake.
Always will.
Well, I'm coming in for this Chicken Parmesan Sandwich Friday, and I'm sponsoring, and it's going to be delicious if I understand the rules of the game correctly. And I'm not positive that I do, but I hope to, and if I do, I'll be there. And I will not be cooking because, frankly, I don't like to cook. But, Shane, you do owe me a meal whenever this pandemic
ends. Yeah, I do. I know.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Good talk. See you out there. But I am ready for Brady to be done, and like we were talking about with Boomer Esiason, it's a disappointment that Drew Brees, who, by the way, never won an NFL MVP, despite having multiple 5,000-yard passing seasons and is the all-time leading passer in the NFL and a first-ballot Hall of Famer, it's a fair criticism to say, disappointment, only one championship for Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Now, he played in an era with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and all-time greats for quarterbacks. I get it. It makes it really hard. Only one guy can win it every year. But Drew Brees is a consensus top 10, borderline top 5, based on the stats, top 1 quarterback in the history of the NFL. And he's got one Super Bowl. I don't want Rodgers to only have the one. He deserves better than that. Mike McCarthy weighed him down for too long. And now he's shed him for Matt LaFleur. And I'm sick and tired of Brady. Brady's won enough. 14 times in the conference championship game, 15 more playoff wins than the Bears franchise, more playoff wins than every team in the NFL other than 5 of them, Patriots, Cowboys, Steelers, Packers, and Niners. And the guy's just, it's fine. He's won, and he's going to be back next year through some sort of voodoo magic. So, yeah, give Rodgers another crack at it. I'd much rather watch Mahomes-Rodgers than Mahomes-Brady. And, yes, Mahomes will be playing this Sunday. I'm very confident in that. That guy's not sitting out the AFC Championship game, especially with this ambiguity around whether or not he was even really in the concussion protocol or if he just, like, stammered off the field and had to do the tests and now they're not going to reveal anything. I think it's more the toe than anything that happened on the hit that could keep him out of that game. So I think Mahomes plays. And I think if Mahomes plays, they win. And so it's Mahomes against the winner of the NFC Championship game. And I will be rooting for Rodgers because I find that story to be more interesting than the damn Tom Brady story. And that doesn't make me a hater. It just makes I'm ready to see a new movie. You see something 8, 9, 10 times, you want to watch something new. Every time, my wife and I, what are we going to watch tonight? Well, do we watch something we've already seen before? Do you want to watch something new? That's like the first decision that you have to make. So I'm ready to watch something new, and I'll be watching Mahomes, hopefully, against Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl because I've seen this Tom Brady story enough. What the hell's going on in Houston? Would they actually trade him? What is at the root of Deshaun Watson's anger? If anybody knows, it's our next guest coming up on The Score.
The Danny Parkin Show.
I went to New Trier.
Oh, New Trier. Fancy, fancy.
On 670 The Score.
John McClain.
Beck, welcome to Houston, and you come right when your quarterback's unhappy, your defensive end is unhappy. As the new man in charge, what are you going to do about it?
Great question, John. Good to meet you. Fan of your work, followed you from afar, so a lot of respect for you. Yeah, I think each year is a new year. We're starting from scratch, and I think the most important thing for us is just to speak specifically to Deshaun.
There's a lot of talk about him being traded. Are you going to quash that?
Yeah, he's our quarterback. And again, you know, once we have an opportunity to spend some time together, we'll further discussions. But can't tell you how much respect and admiration that I have for him.
So the man asking those questions to the new general manager of the Houston Texans, He's been covering professional football in Houston for as long as there's been professional football in Houston. 45 years at the Houston Chronicle. I love any excuse to talk football with this guy. He's back on the Danny Parkin Show, by the way, the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. The General, John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. How are you doing today, sir? Thank you for the time.
Danny, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
So, Deshaun Watson is a little bit of an obsession pet topic for me. He's my favorite player in the NFL. I watched every pass of his at Clemson. My wife's an alum. I banged the table for the Bears to draft him. I cannot believe it's gotten this bad this fast for him and the Texans. What do you believe to actually be true about this situation? Because there are a lot of rumors.
Lots of rumors, lots of speculation from unnamed sources close to Watson. Last week he was going to sit out. This week he's played his last game. Another one, they're working on trade packages for Watson, which is kind of impossible because Caserio started work Monday a week ago, and he's been interviewing coaches around the clock. He hadn't had any chance to even talk to players. And so a lot of people are going to have egg on their face if Watson's still here. I've said all along, I do not believe they're going to trade him. They worked too hard to find a franchise quarterback. Their $156 million contract kicks in 2 years. He's coming off a great season, Danny. DeAndre Hopkins was traded. Will Fuller suspended for the last 5 games, and he was at his best season in every stat. And his worst game was at Soldier Field against the Bears when he got outplayed by Trubisky. But they're not going to let Watson go. He's not going to sit out. He makes $10 million this year. Next year, he makes $35 million. And if you sit out, you don't get credit. It all just goes to the next year. So they're, when Nick Caserio got here, Nick Caserio will tell Watson at some point, you say you want to hold up a Lombardi trophy. I've held up 6. I know how to win a Super Bowl. Starts with a great quarterback. You're our quarterback. You're a great quarterback. Now let's try to do this together. And I'm pretty sure, knowing Watson the way I do, he'll be very impressed. If they hire Eric Bieniemy or if they hire Leslie Frazier, who's done a great job as Buffalo's defensive coordinator, one of those guys, either one of them could keep offensive coordinator Tim Kelly, who Watson just loves and told us he hopes they keep him because Kelly called plays this year. And Watson, in every stat, Danny, he was better than he'd ever been. And so he'd like to have Kelly. So say they have Eric Bieniemy, and Bieniemy wants to keep Tim Kelly to call plays. Is Watson not going to show up? I don't think so. The Watson that I know, Danny, is not James Harden. He's not going to show up out of shape and quit on his team.
I agree 100%, which is why this is all so fascinating from afar, as we're talking to John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. So why exactly is Deshaun Watson so upset? What did the Texans do wrong in his mind?
Well, he has never said for sure. And when he talked to us, it was all about wanting to have put in his 2 cents about the head coach. He asked the owner, Cal McNair, during a lunch before the season was over, what are you looking for? Offense, he said, we're looking for the best coach. We're going to interview offensive people, defensive people. We'll interview former coaches. We'll interview coordinators. And it'll be done by our new general manager. And they interviewed 5 general manager candidates and hired Caserio. The first time they went after Nick Caserio was in 2017 when general manager Rick Smith had to resign to take care of his wife, Tiffany, who was battling cancer and later died. And the Patriots turned him down. Then a year and a half later, tried again. Patriots turned him down, filed tampering charges. And so this time, because of that new rule, you can't keep somebody under contract for promotion, Caserio left. And he's been put in charge of everything. And there's not many personnel guys, Danny, more deserving of being a general manager than Caserio. 20 years in the organization, had a role for them winning 6 championships and worked closely with Bill Belichick. Now, we don't know for sure how he's going to do, but the people in New England and around the NFL think he's going to do well, and they think once he starts talking to Watson, Watson's going to like what he's saying. And then if they hire a head coach that Watson likes, and they told him they'll keep him up to date on the coaching search. Cal McNair said it. Casario said it, but it's all coming from unnamed sources close to Watson. The only thing Watson's tweeted when he hired Casario, more of the some things never changed. He deleted it. We all took that to mean somebody else from New England. Now, I know he wants the executive VP of football operations, Jack Easterby, fired. And a lot of players do. All the fans, media, everybody wants Easterby gone because he came from New England. He worked hand-in-hand with Bill O'Brien. They associate everything with O'Brien with Easterby. And the criticism, not just nationally, the national people just got in on it in the last month. The criticism locally has been unmerciful since about midway through the season. But the owner, Cal McNair, is loyal to Jack Easterby and supports him. Watson won't come out and say it, but we know that's what he's talking about. He wants Easterby gone. He's got a better chance of getting Tim Kelly to stay as coordinator and getting Eric Bieniemy hired as head coach as he does the owner getting rid of Easterby like everybody wants.
As you can tell, this man knows what he's talking about. John McClain, covering pro football in Houston for 45 years for the Houston Chronicle, is one of the most well-sourced people in the entire National Football League. I got two more things for you, John. You mentioned Easterby. There was obviously that Sports Illustrated report. It's a weird story with his backstory and his influence and all of that. Like, how dysfunctional are the Texans right now? It was Bob McNair. Now it's Cal McNair. You've been there a long time. Like, is this as dysfunctional as it's ever been?
The most dysfunctional team I've ever seen was the 1993 Oilers. Team turmoil. One player blew his brains out during the season. Another one wouldn't go to the Patriot game. David Williams, because he stayed back for the birth of his child. Nobody ever heard of that at the time. And then Buddy Ryan trying to punch out Kevin Gilbride on national TV. But that team won. And that team won, let's see, 1-4, finished 12-4, won the last 11. It was fun to cover. But it was something new every day, and it lasted for 6 months. This one's been going on now about a month. All it, like I say, anonymous sources. And so we had a columnist, Brian Smith, today, right? It's time for Watson to say what he wants. Put his name on it. Don't let people close to you put it out there what you want. You want Easterby fired? Tell us. You want Bieniemy hired? Tell us. And I think Deshaun Watson, and you know from Clemson, he is a good kid. Everybody here loves him. He's right up there, right behind J.J. Watt as an icon in Houston. And everybody loves him. He's a team guy. He plays hard. He never complains. And I don't ever see him doing anything like Harden did, which was a really bad exit. And so I think this will all get worked out. It'll blow over. I'm not sure when or how, but I guarantee you this, the Texans are not trading Watson. And if they did, Danny, in fact, I'm going to write this for Thursday. It would not only be the worst decision in the history of Houston sports, and we've had a lot of bad ones, it would be one of the worst in the history of sports. And they can't afford to do that when you've got a leader and a great quarterback like Deshaun Watson.
John, that's the last thing I wanted to talk to you about. So we are in agreement. We do not think that they are crazy enough to trade him. But you do talk radio. You've been in this business for a long time. We like to live in hypotheticals here. I was looking up the best players who had ever been traded in football history in their prime. Khalil Mack came to mind. Marshall Faulk. Randy Moss had 50 touchdowns in the next three years after he was traded to New England. Fran Tarkenton, Giants to Vikings, three Super Bowls and an MVP. This is a 25-year-old franchise quarterback under contract coming off a year where he led the NFL in passing. Would he be the single most valuable commodity ever traded in the history of the sport?
Boy, Fran Tarkenton's in the Hall of Fame, Randy Moss Hall of Fame, Marshall Faulk Hall of Fame. I think you think about this, Danny. If there'd been social media back then, think of what the uproar would have been for like Tarkenton. Think about the uproar would have been for Brett Favre if people knew then what they found out later. And we've had a bunch of them here: Moses Malone, Hakeem Olajuwon, Elvin Hayes, Joe Morgan. We've had a lot of guys traded by our teams, and this one, because of social media, it might be the biggest ever, because people would just go crazy, except for the team that got him. And I've had a lot of talk shows calling me, well, now, so what would it take? And I said, I have no clue, because I've said I got a better chance of being named the head coach than he does of being traded. But Khalil Mack was two ones. They'd have to be guaranteed a starting quarterback. And I'm guessing they'd have to get three number one draft choices. And their defense is awful. They might have to get a couple of defensive players, too. It would be so rich, nobody could do it.
Well, listen, I said I would trade every first-round pick for as long as Deshaun Watson was on the Bears, but I get laughed at when I say it. And I know that's not allowed, but that's if he's on the Bears for 8 years, you can have my next 8 first-round picks. That's what I would do.
Well, that is the most generous trade proposal I've heard yet. But
thank
I'm
you.
Kind of thinking Ryan Pace wouldn't go for that. But I tell you what, any team that were to get Watson, not only is a great player and a tough player and a leader, he's a pillar in the community, and everybody loves the guy.
John McClain, Houston Chronicle, 45 years. You are an institution, and I always appreciate when you give us some time. Thank you, John.
Danny, my pleasure. Thank you very much, and stay safe.
Thank you, sir. You as well. Texter says, my gosh, if Perkins says the Vikings traded Moss to the Patriots one more time, I'm going to lose it. He was traded to the Raiders. First of all, it's Perkins. Thank you. I assume that was intentional. Yeah, you're right. But then he ends up on the Patriots, 50 touchdowns, majority, obviously, New England. I apologize for the technicality, but you're right. You were right. I was wrong. My apology. But in terms of when the trade happened and the production afterwards, obviously the lion's share of that happened with New England. Again, player traded in his prime, wildly productive after. I'm looking for the comp. He says Tarkenton. Okay, I'll buy it. He can speak to it better than I can. I told you, Super Bowl and 3 MVP is pretty damn good. But I don't think he's getting traded, but I think it would absolutely be the biggest trade in NFL history if it actually happened. We had an absolute blast with John C. McGinley. Platoon, Office Space, Point Break, Scrubs, Wall Street 42, Talk Radio, Sportsman. We talked about so many things. You'll hear some of the best of it. You want to check out the entire thing on the radio.com rewind feature. But he also had a special message to Ted Phillips. Character actor John C. McGinley next on The Score.
What would you say you do here?
So we had so much fun with William Fichtner that we decided character actors who are in everything, a bunch of movies that span the genre and the things that we love, we're going to try to get them on just to tell stories when they have nothing to promote. So we had John C. McGinley on earlier today. He was great. We hung up after like 20-something minutes, and he wanted to stay on longer, but we had to get to Boomer Esiason. For me, it was Point Break. An Office Space for Tanny. He really wanted to hear more about Platoon. So many of you needed something on Scrubs. I mean, Talk Radio, Wall Street 42. We could have done hours with this dude. But we pick up the conversation. If you want the Platoon stuff and the Oliver Stone stuff and how he got started, you got to go listen to the whole podcast. But you'll hear the Office Space here in a little bit. But this is a character actor who had become defined for being a character actor. And so I asked him about how that really came to a head with Scrubs. Is it true when you read for Scrubs, it said a John C. McGinley type? Like that doesn't even make any sense. Like that's insane.
Billy Lawrence, who is the executive producer and a dear friend of mine of Scrubs, wrote the script, and they sent it out here. And I remember reading it and going, like, oh, that's curious. There was, in parentheses, there was a John C. McGinley type when referencing Dr. Cox. And I thought, well, I got this one in the bag. Then they made me audition 5 freaking times. And I'm like, well, why isn't this just an offer? How come I got to audition 5 times? And it turns out there are a lot of chefs in the kitchen when you do network TV. And everybody has an opinion. And they want to put their ladle in the soup. And so Billy protected me all the way through. And it's quite nerve-wracking auditioning for things. When you first, Disney was a producer, so you did audition for Disney a few times, and then if you make it up that food chain, then NBC was the exhibitor, so then you had to audition at NBC a couple of times, and it's very nerve-wracking. And I'm a really good auditioner, and even that was nerve-wracking, but it worked out. But yes, there was a John C. McGinley type in the margins for Dr. Cox.
And I assume then, like, if you're a really good auditioning type and you choose these roles based on character, you don't take any sort of offense to character actor, right? Like, what goes into your process to saying, like, that's a character I want to do because I am a storyteller?
I've gotten pretty good at identifying where the character fits into the story, and whether it's the best friend or the coworker or the antagonist or the assistant bad guy, and if that role contributes to the story, then that's interesting to me. If it's just some superfluous jackass, then those are the ones I turn down because A, they're not that fun. B, you're going to be cut out of the film in the final cut, and you're going to have your heart broken. And C, you prepare for those as arduously as you prepare for lead and co-lead guys, and it's devastating when you go to see the film and you ain't it, and you should have known that up front. And so having the ability to discern that and segregate those roles from the ones that are going to be really integral to the story, those are the guys you want to play.
John C. McGinley is with us on The Score telling stories. So if that's how you decide the role based on characters, like, I imagine you don't know necessarily like what's going to come through and resonate as a movie, but like Office Space becomes this cult classic and maybe the most quoted movie of a decade. And I know that took everybody by surprise based on what I've read about it. But when you do that and you see it work and people quote it back to you, is it still surreal all these years later, the success of that particular film?
In some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. In some ways, yes, because when I went to see it in Los Angeles at the cast and crew screening, I was only on the film for 2.5 or 3 days down in Austin, and it was one of those times where I had overlapping gigs. I had a gig up in Toronto with a Matthew Perry comedy. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a really good gig. It was a big Warner Brothers comedy that Matthew was doing during his hiatus from Friends. And so they wanted me down in Austin for like 3 weeks, and it was a conflict of dates. I had to be in Toronto. And so Mike Judge, who's the greatest, they compressed all that stuff, which is just that interior in the office where everybody comes to be interviewed. And then we see the two guys out on the floor a couple times, and that's it. And so that was compressed into 3 days. So I flew to Austin on a Monday, had a wardrobe fitting on Tuesday. I shot Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I was in Toronto for a wardrobe fitting on Saturday. So I wasn't there very much. So I only tell you that as a backstory so that when I saw the film and how genius Jennifer was in it and how great Mike was in it and Ron and all these actors and Gary – I wasn't on the set with hardly any of them. And so it rocked me how funny it was. And I just checked that one off as I'd been in a bunch of drama hits, but I hadn't been in a comedy hit yet. And I'm thinking, here we go. This'll repackage the whole thing. And then it came out and it was A Dog with Fleas. And I know why. I know one of the reasons is that some genius at 20th Century down at Fox, they made the poster, which is how people used to go to the movies. They used to, you know, open up the Chicago Trib or, you know, whatever, the New York Times, and look at a big full-page ad. And the full-page ad was of Milton, the guy with the stapler, dressed in yellow Post-its. And if you dress someone in yellow Post-its, they look like frickin' Big Bird. And then if it's a Big Bird R-rated movie, no one's going. And so the film tanked. Because some genius decided that was the marketing, and so
yeah, there are better ways to do that. Like, right, like,
it's what.
Well, because John, it's one of the most relatable like pitches ever. People hate their office jobs. Go laugh about how much office jobs suck. That should have been the easiest sell ever.
Right. Instead, you make it a Big Bird R-rated movie. Okay, genius.
God, these executives—they don't know what they're doing.
So
well,
then,
because
it is so funny, and Mike is so. Is so skilled, it somehow, that's back when VCRs and DVDs and then, you know, Blu-rays, that's when all that stuff was realizing fruition. And so it had other outlets to for people to find it, and they did. And, I mean, the film is so subversive and so funny, and it's so not a studio movie And so that was I love that film. I love it because I'm hardly in it, and I watch that ensemble, and they are watertight. I love when ensembles crush.
It's a brilliant movie, and it holds up, and I assume you'll appreciate this. I know you're a sports fan. The Bears are very dysfunctional right now, and their
don't tell me about the Bears' dysfunction. I'm a Giants fan, so I don't want to hear about your Bears making the playoffs and my
hey, listen,
mediocrity that I'm living in.
Well, misery loves company. All right, it's been 35 years since a Super Bowl for the Bears, and they got this president. His name's Ted Phillips, and no one knows what he does, but he kind of hires and fires and has power, but he's not a football guy. And I'm telling you, when they brought back their GM and their coach, John, this was last week.
Oh, right.
We got, I mean, dozens of tweets, texts, or whatever, and it was basically Ted Phillips, and then what would you say you do here? Like, that was like... It was constant. And so I'm curious, for the audience here in Chicago, is there any chance you'd give us, I know you're on Cameo and anything like that, but any chance you'd give us a Ted Phillips, what would you say you do here?
Ted, listen, Ted, what would you say you do here?
Yeah! it's so freaking perfect to what's going on with the Bears. And, you know, I got to say, I was reading about your Red Wing fandom and Giants and all of that. You've been in some
awesome... Yeah, but I go wherever Chelly goes. So Chelly's working for the Blackhawks, so I'm a Hawks guy now because Chelly's back in Chicago. So I'm a Hawks guy.
That guy, I mean, he could be mayor of this city. What a life.
The greatest, one of the greatest.
How far do you go back with him?
Say again?
I said, how far do you go back with Chelly?
I don't know, 30 years.
Wow. Just old friends or golfing buddies?
He lives his place about a mile from here. But I met Chelly through Johnny Cusack, and then became fast friends. A couple times, and Chelly brought the cup out here a couple times on those great Wings teams. And we all got on a plane and went to Toronto when he was inducted. I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago now. It seems forever, but it wasn't. Chelly's a really special guy in my life.
That's very cool. I was going to ask, because, you mentioned John Cusack. Your Wikipedia says you're golfing buddies with John Cusack. I'm like, that's a weird thing to have on a Wikipedia
page. No, Johnny,
page.
That's a lot. Johnny and golf are, they're oil and water.
See, you can't trust everything that you read on Wikipedia. But last thing then
I don't
that
know
I have.
That's strange. But anyway.
Right? Yeah, well, no, last thing, because you're in Any Given Sunday, you're in 42, you're a big sports fan. Like, I'm curious, like, these movies hold up. Sports movies matter to people, and they can cross generations. Like, what do you think makes a good sports movie?
With sports, I think, when the writers nail it, I just watched Rudy again, or I introduced Rudy to my daughter a couple months ago. And so when the writing is distilled, when the conflict, which is what every film's about, right? When the conflict in sports movies is distilled down to this really clean three-act story, you can get it, and it becomes people can relate in a bigger way when you watch Rudy or you watch Hoosiers or I guess those are that to me is the top of the food chain. But when you watch 42 and you see Chadwick and the way Brian crafted that script, you don't have to be a baseball fan. You just watch Chadwick and you watch this human being, and he transcends. He is transcendent. Rest in peace again. And so I think it's because the writing can be distilled down to a really shareable place.
I shut it down.
So much damn fun with John C. McGinley. If you want to hear him talk about Oliver Stone, he did like 5 Oliver Stone movies. And Platoon specifically, and the early portions of his career. You can check out the whole thing on the radio.com rewind feature. Ted, what would you say you do here? Could not have been cooler. Very much appreciate him coming on the show. So thank you to John C. McGinley. Thank you to John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. And thank you to Boomer Esiason. Matt Spiegel will be in Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. Shane Reardon produces this thing. Thank you, sir. Very much appreciate you. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. Be sure you listen to Joe. My name's Danny Parkins. This is the Danny Parkins Show on The Score.
What is the most important right guaranteed to United States citizens?
Right to vote. Certain, yes.
Special capers from Italy. Soprano kids don't like them. Who wrote the Star Spangled Banner?
Martin Luther King.
Dash you. You know this.
I want to eat.
Francis Scott Key. What holiday was celebrated for the first time by the American colonists?
Martin Luther King.
Dash you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.